Episode 887, My Strength is My Story with Lisa Jo Baker, Never Unfriended.
Moms, needing a little inspiration and a ray of hope? You've come to the right place. This is the show that you can turn to for just the pick-me-up you need. This is Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie. Here's your host, certified life coach, personal trainer, and nutritionist, Christiane Wargo.
Staring at a stop sign, watching people drive by, T-Mac on the
Happy, happy day. I hope you are having an extraordinary week. Today is my favorite day. It's my Strength is My Story series, and we have on an incredible woman. Her name is Lisa Jo Baker. Her name probably rings a bell. Well, I'll clue you in here in a minute, but we're talking all about friendships, how to go deeper, how maybe to get rid of a few of them also. So you'll want to listen in. For those of you who are brand new to Create Your Now, welcome to this incredible family. I'm so delighted of your presence. If you already haven't had the opportunity, you want to head on over to createyournow.com where you can learn more and sign up for the Kisses newsletter, the Keep It Simple Strategy Everyday Solutions to Live, Love, and Impact. Today is your day. It's time to take aim, and it's all about friendships. Lisa Jo and I go deep in our coffee chat. We speak about sweatpants and skinny jeans. Now, you know, when you got sweatpants and skinny jeans, you gotta listen in. And we also talk about how to be unfine and inconvenienced. Ooh, got you scratching your head? Well, you know why? Lisa Jo is an expert. She is a community manager over at encourage.me. It's the encourage.me. We had an amazing conversation. You want the secret to finding and keeping lasting friendships? Let's join in the conversation with Lisa Jo Baker, Never Unfriended. Hello and welcome to Create Your Now. I am so excited to have on an extraordinary woman with me today, Lisa Jo Baker. She is a wife of nearly 20 years. Yeah, count that on your calendar. A mother to three very vivacious children and loves to connect, encourage, and champion women both in person and online. Lisa Jo is the author of Surprised by Motherhood, including the Bible study We Saved You a Seat. She is the creator of the Temper Toolkit, probably something we all need as moms, even just as women. She is the community manager at Encourage.me since 2010. Boy, she's been around for a long time. That means she has such amazing wisdom. There, Lisa Jo engages in conversations with hundreds of women about friendship. Her latest book, oh yes, I'm so excited, Never Unfriended, The Secret to Finding and Keeping Lasting Friendships, opens discussion to the power of being a friend. Lisa Jo is convinced that the shortest distance between strangers is an awkward story. Lisa Jo, I've got some awkward stories to share with you. Come on in, my friend and sister in Christ.
Bring them, I say. Bring them. They'll make me feel right at home.
That's right. The more awkward, the better, right?
Absolutely.
I love that. Well, let's start with some awkward stories right now. What keeps Lisa Jo happy and smiling these days?
Oh, man. I tell you what, we just put together, this will test a marriage, no matter how long you've been married. We put together outdoor lawn furniture, you know, like patio furniture. And I'm telling you, it gave IKEA a run for its money. It was that difficult to put together. I think there's a special circle in hell for the people who designed those tiny little screws and the little screwdriver thing. Okay, so that's not what kept me happy. But we assembled it. We survived. And now we have this beautiful outdoor spot. Aww. That just feels like you can exhale, you know, you can sit yes. outside and we've got fish ponds and flowers hanging and this furniture I thought was going to kill me that took 2 weeks to put together, but it was worth it.
It was worth it. So now you can actually go and enjoy your summer.
Yeah. It's amazing how adding an outdoor living space, whether it's, you know, it's not super fancy, but it's there and you can spend time outside. It's been wonderful. I love it. Love, love, love it. So in the mornings, coffee and a good book outside on the furniture, as long as you've wiped off, you know, the leaves and the bugs and the twigs that inevitably end up on the furniture overnight.
That's right. And maybe a few kid toys. I mean, you right. got three of
a Nerf
them.
Nerf gun or two. Yes. I thought you were very gracious how you called them vivacious because really loud is what they are. Loud and obnoxious sometimes.
Loud and obnoxious. Well, you know, that just allows you to use your internal intercom.
Sure. Let's go with that.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you wrote this incredible book. I read it. I love it. Of course, we're going to have all the information in the show notes so all of our listeners can pick up a copy of their own because I love these kind of topics. And this is one that we like to push under the bed. I mean, we even hide it deeper than the dust bunnies.
Right.
We don't like to talk about friendship.
Right. It's tricky. I mean, because it feels like we're talking sometimes about conflict or about scars or wounds, and it can get a little messy and a little up in your business is how it can feel. It felt that way writing it, too. It was hard.
And you share a lot of great stories in your book. I mean, you talk about Micah, you talk about your dad, you talk about even when you were baptized, and we might talk a little bit about a couple of those stories, but how does Lisa Jo define friendship?
You know, I think we live in a consumer culture where we approach friendship with the question, what's in it for me? Mm-hmm. You know, all the late night ads and the commercials and the magazines are all telling us, what's in it for you? It's going to make you skinnier or prettier or with less lines or less gray hair, you know, for $9.99 and free shipping.
I need it all.
Right. And so we tend to approach relationships that way too, like what's in it for me? And so we're easily disappointed, we're let down, we have expectations that aren't met. This book for me and the learning experience taught me to flip that question on its head and instead to ask, what's in it for you? Mm. And I think that is really what defines a good friend, someone who isn't approaching friendship as basically, you know, an ATM or, you know, a cash machine or a vending machine to try to get something out of it, but instead is asking, what can I give you? How can I serve you? What does it look like to love you, to be your friend? If you are that kind of woman, I promise you, like, it's irresistible. People want to spend time with you and they feel safe around you.
And that safeness, that security that we get from a friendship, it's like just that blanket.
Oh, it's the best, right? It's the best.
It is.
I talk a lot about the difference between, like, that kind of friendship you're describing that feels like a blanket. It's kind of like sweatpants, you know? Like, we all aspire to find and be sweatpants friends. We don't want skinny jeans friendship. You know, like, skinny jeans friendship is the kind that makes you feel, like, restricted and you can't breathe. You don't know how to be yourself and you're constantly feeling guilty or stressed about something. Everybody wants to take off skinny jeans at the end of the night. Everybody wants to put on their sweatpants. So I talk a lot about aspiring to be sweatpants friends, and exactly like you described, a safe, cozy, warm, comfortable place to do the ugly cry at the end of the sofa for 3 or 4 hours if need be. You know, sweatpants can handle that.
Yeah, and little did you know that below me, I'm wearing my sweatpants. So, you know, I'm just kind of welcoming you in. I just don't want you to unfriend me ever.
Never.
Oh, I love it. And the way you describe it, it is so true, because when we've had a stuffy day, when chaos comes in and challenges, we're walking in the store, we see a friend out, you know, out and about, and we'll say, how are you? And what's our response most of the time?
We always say, I'm fine. It's like we're programmed. It's like there's no other words to come out of our mouths. We're like, oh, I'm fine. How are you? I'm fine. And then the conversation is over.
Yeah, and that's not fun. I mean, it just kind of cuts it. And then the one that I find a lot is the combination of I'm too busy or I'm so busy.
Right, I'm so busy. Right.
No, I don't understand that.
Fine and busy. Fine and busy are these two obstacles to going deeper with friendship, because when you tell someone you're fine, then what if they're not fine? What if their day was horrid? What if they had a terrible fight with their husband right before they walked out the door? And when they meet you, that's what's on their mind, but you say you're fine. And so they don't feel the comfort level then to actually share how they're really doing. And so I try to encourage women, truth is a really powerful tool in friendships. And I don't mean, like, you know, any person who crosses your path, right? Like, but the people that you know are in your circle, if you can get past fine and tell them how you really are doing, it's such a gift to them, because then they have the freedom to say, oh my gosh, my day was terrible as well. My kids screamed at me and the dog threw up on the carpet and the dishwasher's not working. You know,
yes.
We all need a place to say how we're really doing. But here's the problem with I'm busy. If your friend is so busy, then it's hard to feel like it's okay to take the time to share how you're really doing beyond fine. So you're trapped. You know, fine and busy are really kind of quicksand traps for friendship. And if we can push past those, if we can be willing to be fine, and to be inconvenienced, to make time in our schedule for the people that matter to us, it really does take friendship to that next level, I think.
Yes, definitely. And we're so quick. You know, we talk about habits. We want to change our lifestyle. We think about New Year's resolutions. I mean,
right.
I can't believe right. we're basically 6 months away from celebrating another new year. Praise
Crazy.
The Lord. You know, but when we have those, we think about habits. Well, our
right.
words, our phrases,
mm-hmm.
I've marked my own. And I think, how many times do I say the word like? I can remember years
right.
ago, this is dating me, but
no,
years
I'm saying
ago.
You're when, not allowed to use that word. Like, it's bad grammar, right?
Right. Like, you know, oh, can
and
you like, remember
in your
like?
Face, eighth grade English teacher.
Exactly.
Like, everybody uses it now.
Right. And what happens, you know, we just kind of let all these just normal phrases that we have adapted and adopted in our life mm-hmm. to become the answer to all answers of everything. And we don't stop long enough. And you know what? That zaps our energy, but it is so important, like you said, if we want to go deeper into our friendships,
mm-hmm.
if we want to take that next step, because in our world today, you talk about it being a consumer culture.
Mm-hmm.
We got Facebook and Instagram stories
right.
and Pinterest.
Right.
How do you escape this kind of being thrown into in-person friendships versus online friendships?
Right, right. I mean, I love social media as much as the next girl, so I'll just say that. But I really believe friendship will starve on a diet of just 140 characters or Facebook status updates. Like, it needs time for long conversations that go beyond the surface. And so while Facebook or Pinterest or Instagram are fun sort of conversation starters, they can't be where the conversation ends. The conversation needs to end like in a living room or around a dining room table or out to coffee. And I think it really is up to us to initiate. I mean, as much as I wish friends would just fall from the sky into my lap, like that would be awesome. I have not yet experienced that in my real life. So I know if I'm the new girl, and I think a lot of us know what that feels like, no matter how old we are, we're moving or our kid is changing schools or there's new sports teams that we're part of again or a new church. In those moments of newness, I have to be able to get past my awkwardness and just ask somebody, ask them to lunch or for a coffee date or initiate a Bible study. Often it takes going first in order to get past just those tiny little pockets of time we have on Facebook or Instagram. And the thing is, it's on us. Like, we actually have to take that first step, as much as I wish we didn't, as much as I wish someone would initiate. And sometimes they do, which is great. But then you have to say yes. Like, you have to go. You have to get in your car. You have to pick up the cookie or whatever you're supposed to bring. You have to make time. And really, it's an investment. So as much as you're willing to invest is what you will get out of a friendship.
Mm-hmm. So true. And you mentioned about being the new girl. You talk about in your book about the
yeah.
obstacles. We're going to come back to that. You all are going to want to pick up your own copy of Never Unfriended, because you don't want to be unfriended. It's the secret to finding and keeping lasting friendships. Lisa Jo just spells it out. And of course, we'll have all that information in the show notes for you. But these obstacles, you talk about being the new girl.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, a story that you tell in your book is when you're at church and you feel like, you know, when you're to greet everybody
right.
and you're
the
like,
worst time
oh.
ever. The meet and greet portion of the service when introverts want to die, okay?
Exactly.
Like, I'm a church girl my whole life, and I still want to die during that period of the service. Like, I greet my husband, and I greet my children. And so now I'm kind of sitting in an area of church with people who are all in our home group. So that's good because I already know them, you know? But, like, having to meet a new person is very stressful. And so we had moved. We were new to Virginia. We'd be going to the same church for, like, 2 years. And I still did not know anybody beyond the meet and greet, like, you know, deeper than just, hi, how are you? Or the kids look like they've grown or whatever. And I didn't know any real life people, but I was writing about community on the internet. And I felt like the Holy Spirit one day was like, do you have like that thing that you're writing about? Does that exist in your life? And I was like, oh yes, look at my internet friends. It's so awesome. And the Holy Spirit was like, yeah, no, not so much. And I'm not joking you, like a week later in the mail, I got kind of like one of those advanced copies of a Bible study leader's kit. I was really excited about it. I'm like, oh, Bible study leader's kit. And it was the exact right size to use as a footstool under my desk while writing about community. This is a true story. Okay. The irony did not hit me until several weeks later. We were in the awkward meet and greet, and I felt like I heard the Holy Spirit say, Bible study leaders, kids. And I was like, what? oh, and I walked up to this girl I sort of knew, and I'd heard her one time talk about how she wished she had more mentors in her life. And I was like, hey, Laura, I have a Bible study leaders kit. Would you like want to do a Bible study? Before I was even done talking, she's like, that would be awesome. And I know a bunch of women who want to come. And like, I was horrified because like 16 women showed up. And I was like, what am I doing? And it's funny how even when you initiate something, you can still feel awkward. You can still feel like you're somehow the odd one out, even when you're leading the thing and you have the Bible study leaders kit in your hands. But that group of women, we met on Tuesday nights and we continue to just be friends 7 years later. A lot of them have moved away and we are in a voice messaging group and we still call ourselves the Tuesday Night Girls. Oh. And that is because even though I was a new girl, at some point I awkwardly asked somebody else to be part of something with me. So it's awkward.
It is awkward, but you're such an inspiration because there is a lot of movement in our culture, meaning picking up. We don't have the loyalty anymore of working at one place forever. And you have families. I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean they're military families.
Right.
Everywhere across the board, people pick up and move. And just that awkwardness and that feeling of, gosh, I'm out there by myself.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, it's difficult to overcome that and it's tiring. My friend Kristen Strong, she's a military wife and she tells about how they had moved many times. And so I want to let women know that even though you might initiate, even though you do all the things I'm suggesting, sometimes it still doesn't work. Okay. That's just real life. Sometimes it's difficult and you have to be willing to keep trying. And Kristen had tried and tried and tried. And she was like, it was so frustrating. I wanted to put a sign out in my front yard that said, desperate woman seeks friends. She was like, could not connect with anybody. Aww. And I love that story because that's just real life. Like sometimes it is hard and you put yourself out and it doesn't work. But the problem is if you just say, and now I'm done, well, you are. Like, you know, until you're willing to put yourself out there again, you won't be able to go deeper in community. So Kristen tells that story, but then she says how she kept trying and she kept trying and kept trying. And finally, one or two women she started to connect with until, you know, years later, she has deep roots in that community.
Mm, that's beautiful. And you can't give up. You can't quit on friends, even though it's so simple, just to, like you said, with a swipe of a finger or a delete button, you're gone.
Right. You're out of my life. Bye-bye. I don't even have to have a conversation or explain my feelings to you. I mean, it's scary how easily that comes to us.
Well, you're a woman who is deeply rooted in faith. Church, Jesus has been very much a part of your life. What role has Jesus shown us in the walk when it comes to friendships?
Oh, man, it's been so interesting spending time with him specifically through that lens, because, of course, there's so many things we learn from him. Mm-hmm. But one of the things I love is our pastor always reads he uses a lot of times the Message translation of Scripture. And when he's reading that verse about Christ's incarnation, it's translated in the Message. It talks about how Jesus moved into the neighborhood. Isn't that the greatest picture? Because moving is really awkward and you don't know anybody right away and you're the new person and it's just uncomfortable. And I love that he embodied what it feels like to be new and to go out of your way to get to know somebody, because that is what he did. He left everything he knew and he came to earth for us. That picture is so powerful to me. And so I love his example all throughout Scripture. He has a close circle of friends. There are several that misunderstand him, some that betray him. There's infighting. I mean, every experience we have in our circles of friendship, he actually lived through. Mm-hmm. And then at the end in John's gospel, when he's praying after they've had the Last Supper, he's about to go out into the garden. And we know he'll be betrayed. The disciples don't know that yet. He's praying a prayer, and he prays specifically for the disciples, his friends. And he says to the Father that he can testify he has not lost a single one of them who's been entrusted to him, that he has protected and guarded them. Mm. And what's so interesting is when you look up the Greek definition of those words, the guarded actually refers to the walls of a high fortress. And I love that picture that he has built safe walls around his friends. Today, we live in a culture where we're really good, one jealous brick at a time, one comparing brick at a time, building walls between us and our friends, right? Until we can't even see them anymore, and then we unfriend them. But Christ's example is to build walls around our friends, to be a safe place for them. It blew my mind when I got to that passage, and I thought, my goodness, you know, when last did we challenge ourselves to do that instead of simply accept it as completely normal to have cut ourselves off from our friends by our sense of dissatisfaction or entitlement or comparison.
Mm-hmm. Boy, those sweatpants and a high fortress, I'm all in, girl.
Right? Don't you just want to hang out with that kind of woman? I mean, that we can be that, and it will cost you, and it will be hard, and sometimes you'll get hurt. But at the end of the day, those are the two choices we have: a woman who's behind a wall and everybody else is on the other side, mm-hmm. or a woman who's built a wall of security and safety and invited people in.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're definitely going to want to pick up your own copy of Lisa Jo's brand new book, Never Unfriended, The Secret to Finding and Keeping Lasting Friendships. In your book, Lisa Jo, you talk about FOMO. You talk about the new girl. And you also talk about the comparison. I want to jump to the comparison. We can come back to FOMO. But I want to talk about comparison because of Twitter and social media and all of that stuff out there. I can remember way back when I used to kind of like, well, she can really jump rope. And I can, right? I mean, I was just worried about the jump rope status. She could go 120 times. I can only get to 99. Now we've moved into, you look at the feeds and you're like, I want to have that patio furniture that took you 2 weeks to build in your backyard, you know, that just glorious space. Because you're not going to necessarily talk. We don't share all the bad and ugly stuff. We just share the portraits of goodness.
Right.
How can we get out of this comparison? Because you say comparison is always a trap, but we can learn to escape it together.
Right. I mean, thank you, Pinterest and Facebook, for inventing entire new universes to covet my neighbor's house, life, messy bun, homeschooling, kitchen, and outdoor patio furniture, and her smoky eyeliner that I can never figure out how to do. First of all, FOMO, fear of missing out, is not a new thing. It's not because of social media. I mean, Eve is the original queen of FOMO. I mean, there she is standing in paradise, and she's basically like, wait, what? There's something I don't have? I want that thing. You know, I got left out of it. But what social media does do is amplify it. It just feels louder and more in our face. And I often describe it as what feels like I can be perfectly content in my life, and then I open up Instagram, and then it feels like a drive-by comparison shooting. You know, it's completely unexpected. I'm just happy in my life, and then it's like, boo, 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 you know, and I'm like, wait, I didn't get invited to that. Wait, why am I not there? And most of the time, I don't even want to be there. Like, I'm happy here in my messy bun and my sweatpants. Like, I don't want to be on a plane over there.
Right.
But you're right, it's so difficult. And so what I write about in the book is it's not like a switch I can just flip off in my brain and comparison goes away. It's not like just deleting social media off my phone will fix that.
Right.
It's a much bigger heart issue. And so you have to replace comparison with something else. And so in my experience, one of the most powerful antidotes to comparison is encouragement. So if I'm willing to move from comparing myself to my friends to encouraging my friends, mm-hmm. it is a shift in my soul. And it means that I'm taking my identity not from my friends and what they're doing, but from the Christ who's called both of us. And so, you know, the most famous story of jealousy has to be Saul, the Saul, David, Jonathan triangle, right? Mm-hmm. So there's Saul, his entire life is defined by his crippling jealousy of David. But here's Jonathan, the actual literal heir to the throne, who becomes best friends with David and understands that David is going to take his birthright and his legacy. That's what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
But how is Jonathan able to align himself with David? He's the one who's actually going to lose out, not even Saul. It's actually Jonathan. And I think what's very powerful when you look at Jonathan is that Jonathan understands not just what David's been called to, but who's calling him.
Mm.
Jonathan is looking at what God is doing, and he's not just aligning with David, he's aligning with God. God is doing something through David, and Jonathan aligns himself with that, with God's calling and kingdom. And I think that has to be the reminder to ourselves, what's happening in this woman's life that is so awesome? Wow, maybe God is using her for the kingdom in a very significant way. I need to align myself with God rather than try to bring down something God is doing. You know, when you look at it like that, it should scare us a little bit to think about wanting to be jealous or coveting what another woman has or wanting to undermine her, because this is the kingdom of God at work. And so I tell myself all the time, the kingdom of God is a co-op It's not a competition, right? There's enough room in the kingdom for everybody. There's enough work for everybody. So if I can switch my head and stop comparing and start encouraging, I have a chance. I have a chance of escaping the quicksand.
Mm-hmm. And you got to be in your sweatpants to do all of that. So you can be, you know, I mean, come on, think about this picture that you're painting here. We've got this high fortress happening around us. We've got really comfy sweatpants.
Right. You've got the quicksand around the outside if you're not careful.
That's right. You know, I'm like, whoa. But it's also something, I don't know, maybe I enjoy an adventure.
Yeah,
but I can see friendship as an adventure.
Yeah,
because it's like, you know, you want to go deeper with people, but in order for you to go deeper with them, you have to be willing to open the front door yourself.
Right. Absolutely. It's an adventure all the way. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's going to be messy in places. My front door, usually when I open it, is messy. So are we willing to invite people in? I mean, literally, not just past our filters on Instagram, but are we willing to invite them into our houses when we're not ready, when we're not expecting guests? Are we willing to be interrupted? And when I was studying Jesus' ministry, really this through the focus of friendship, it's so interesting. His entire ministry is one of being interrupted. Like literally, it'll be like, and Jesus was on his way to Bethany when, and then some person interrupts him to ask him to participate in something, or you know, he's on his way to heal Jairus's daughter when somebody interrupts him. You know, there's a woman who wants time with him. And at no point does he ever mutter the words, I'm so busy. You know, like I don't have time for this. Like this wasn't on the schedule. I don't have time ever. Like that is, I was so struck by how he always makes time and he's not resentful to the people who need his time and he's willing to meet them where they're at. And so I realize that we have things that have to get done. We have agendas and timelines and checklists. However, if we don't leave space to be inconvenienced, friendship just can't thrive. If we want to have deep friendship, we have to be willing to be inconvenienced some days.
Mm-hmm. We need to make time. In fact, somewhere in my notes here.
Okay, says, I love all your stickies. I just have to say, it's like the highest compliment to an author ever.
I don't know if you can see my highlights, but they're in pink too.
I love it. I love it.
It's so much fun. Well, I flipped here to chapter 8. And in chapter 8, it's titled Create Imperfect in parentheses time and space together. And you say that for many of us women, I think our craving for connection is in direct conflict with our obsession for perfection.
Yeah.
I mean, talk about cutting to the heart.
Right.
You stabbed me, girl.
I know, but because I think Pinterest has sold us a lie. It tells us that unless everything looks like it came out of Joanna Gaines's house, we can't have people over. You know, like my sink does not look like her sink. My sink has dishes in it, like dirty ones, you know? And if I'm not willing to invite people over when I'm not ready, then friendship becomes entertaining. It's not friendship. It's not willing to be unfine with your house and your life. And I think While we assume that people want our houses to look perfect, I think actually it is a relief for women to walk into a house and say, oh my word, like she has laundry all over the sofa just like I do. Like, thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
Like the greatest gift you can give your friend is to invite her over when all your laundry is sitting out.
Yes.
So I can always gauge the level of intimacy in my friendships by how panicked I am about the state of my house before a friend comes over. So if my friend is coming over, and I've had this happen where all my laundry is sitting out and it doesn't even occur to me to fold my laundry and put it away before she comes, I'm like, yeah, we're soul sisters. Like we've gone to a deep place. It's really deep together. Yeah. Yeah.
I love that. So what would be your recommendation? How does a person begin to get ready to become a friend? I mean, we're really putting some thought into this, and I don't think much of us are sitting around a coffee table going, how can I be a better friend?
Right,
it's just not up for discussion, but I think we need to have these discussions because of how, once again, we've got social media and all of that plastered in our face, things that are doing, we're missing the connection, the physical touch that God has given us, that he says, I'm supposed to be there. He doesn't have a schedule. He doesn't say, I'm going to impose my schedule, you know, based on who's coming to visit me in my walk to wherever he's going.
Mm-hmm. Man, I think maybe two things. I think you have to be willing to let go of past things that hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to be willing to go first in new friendships. And so by let go, I mean, I don't know that a lot of us pay attention to how we may have been hurt or offended in past relationships, but we sure hold on to those things. And they're kind of like a little backpack we carry everywhere with us of our old grievances and frustrations, and she hurt me here, and this happened then. Mm-hmm. The problem is when we bring those into a new relationship, they are affecting our interaction. And so in the book, I actually talk about that. I talk about mapping your friendship DNA, looking back at your relationships, how you related as a child, even in your family, what relationships have taught you certain behaviors that you don't even realize have become part of your friendship language, paying attention to those, and then forgiving anyone who maybe needs to be forgiven, someone you might be holding a grudge against or an anger toward. We have to let go of those things before we can go first in a new friendship. And so if we can let go, we're in a much healthier place to go first, to take the initiative. And I think if you want to kind of have those crushed Cheerios underfoot friendships, the best way to do it is invite your friend over on a messy house day. Like, as weird and wild as that sounds, and I like a clean house as much as the next girl, don't get me wrong, but there is something about inviting a friend over. Just stop by or come by or feel free to just text and come over, and then not rushing around and cleaning. Just saying, just letting, come in. I'm sorry, we're in the middle of homework, but I wanted to still give you this or talk to you about that. Like, if we're willing to really let them see us, like who we are. And I think for a woman, her house is a really intimate thing,
yes,
almost as intimate as our soul. And so if we let someone see our house, we might be more likely to let them see our soul.
That is perfection there, if I can use that word. That is. Truly, the whole aspect of coming to, oh my gosh, that you nailed it, Lisa Jo. You nailed it.
Oh, well, I've learned the lesson the wrong way many, many times. And so this is why I'm qualified to speak on it. I have made the mistake so many times. Make it a few hundred times and then you're qualified to write a book about it.
That's right.
Not because you got it right.
That's true, because we still make those mistakes.
Right.
You know, and like you said, you say forgiveness is ground zero.
Yeah.
Love that.
There's just no walking forward without it. You just cannot drag along all of your unhealthy anger and frustration and then expect to have healthy new friendships. So pausing to figure out how you were hurt, mm-hmm, and to ask God to help you forgive those people. And I'll just say, for me, forgiveness has not been a one and done. And I think when Jesus talks about how we have to forgive 70 times 7, I don't know that he means on separate occasions. He may even be saying in relation to one person or in one area where you were hurt, it might take you that long. And I think we all come into friendships with different baggage. Some of us have really deep, raw scars. Mm-hmm. Others of us are healthy and ready to connect. But I do think it bears taking the time to explore your heart a little bit to figure out where you are. Are you coming off something painful or that needs to be handed over to Christ and ask him to help you forgive them?
Mm-hmm. Oh, beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. And you all will want to pick up your own copy of Never Unfriended, The Secret to Finding and Keeping Lasting Friendships. We've talked about comparison. We've talked about perfection. What have we left out? What can we change as a person, as a woman, individually? Because in your book, you talk about what we can't change. There's some things we don't have control over. But
right.
I want to talk about what we do have control over, because a woman, especially a mom, loves control.
Yeah, don't we? They're like our checklists. Yeah. They make us feel like we're in charge.
Exactly.
They trick our kids into thinking we're in charge. You know, there are a lot of things that we can control when we come into a friendship. Like we can, some of them we've talked about, we can control being willing to go first. We can control being willing to be unfine, to make time, to show up, to choose to encourage rather than to compare, to make room at the table for a new person. I think one of the most important things I've had to learn, though, is we do get to control what goes on in our heads. Please tell me you can relate to this, because often I have had long, extended, multi-part arguments with my friends that happen only in my head. And that crazy where you like relive what she said and then what I would say and what I wish I did say and what I think she said about me to somebody else, that's insanity. That will wake you up at 4 a.m. and make you feel like a crazy person. And for years, I just accepted that. Like, that was normal, just to kind of have that internal monologue. Until finally, when I was writing the book, I woke up at 4 a.m. and I thought, but this doesn't seem normal. Like, why am I having these thoughts? And then I got out of bed and kind of away from the space of that weird semi-dream state and prayed. And I realized that often I think the enemy wants to spin us in a hamster wheel where we imagine all these scenarios that someone did or didn't do about us, or what they thought or didn't say, or why they didn't involve us. Mm-hmm. And we can become so angry over something we think happened that it will affect something that really does happen. And so I am learning in those moments to choose to give my friend the gift of the benefit of the doubt. Mm. It is a very powerful gift, but it will cost you to give it to somebody, because you have to lay down all of your own defenses that are what's happening when you're having those conversations in your head and say, I choose to believe the best about my friend. I choose to believe the best about her. And sometimes that'll be easy because you have a friend you trust and who's wonderful. And if you go and talk to her the next day, she'll be like, well, of course I wasn't thinking that, or I didn't mean it, and it'll be no problem. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you will have people who are not treating you kindly or with grace or the best possible way, and it will be much harder to give them the gift of the benefit of the doubt. But I think it's a spiritual discipline. And in those cases, what I have done is, if we have a mutual friend in common, I've gone to the mutual friend and said, I am having such a hard time in how I feel about this woman, and it's kind of driving me crazy, and I don't know how to talk to her about it because she won't talk to me, or she's giving me the silent treatment, or she's being passive aggressive, or whatever. And asked my mutual friend, how do you see this? Is there something in me that needs to change? Is there something going on with her I don't know about? All of these are ways to give that friend the benefit of the doubt, so that you can continue to love them without doing the thing we want to do where you just vent to everybody about them, right? Like, if I can get somebody who will remind me who my friend is and why we both love her, and maybe a hard thing I didn't realize was going on with her, it's easier to give the benefit of the doubt. But I have to add this, though. There will be some relationships, though, that become so unhealthy and toxic that the best thing you can do eventually is to draw a safe boundary line. And I don't think that drawing boundaries in our relationships make us unchristian or impolite. I think they make us wise. And so at some point, once you've had actual conversations with that person and nothing has changed, and a conversation with a mutual friend and nothing has been able to change, and maybe a community has been involved, at some point, you then need to draw a line so that that friend is released, is how I think of it, released so that Christ can get to her more directly than through me, because sometimes I'm now just an inhibitor of the situation that has become toxic.
Yes. We think about, with Facebook, the unfriending, you know, we can just, or block somebody.
Right.
You know, it's a little more challenging when it's a love type of friendship that's involved. That's a different emotion that plays into our decisions and how we act upon things. But for you to really say it's okay to have those boundaries, I think that's great, to have that permission and giving yourself permission.
Right. Saying,
you know, sometimes it could be poison. It's not that they're a bad person, but you got to love them where they're at, and then you got to let them go and let God take care of them.
Absolutely. That's absolutely right. You can't keep drinking that kind of poison and not expect your soul to be affected. I do think, though, that, you know, depending on the relationship and how healthy or unhealthy it is, it's, if there's the opportunity to have an actual conversation with that person to explain the steps that you're taking to set boundaries, is, you know, is the healthiest way to do it. Sometimes, though, if you've lived through years together and that person is never able to hear you, never really receives what you're saying, then it's almost as if, you know that old expression, when somebody tells you who they are, believe them. And so when you've seen that behavior over and over again, you have to recognize at some point, okay, I need to draw a boundary so that that behavior stops becoming mine to own.
Mm-hmm. You'll want to pick up your own copy of her brand new book, Never Unfriended, The Secret to Finding and Keeping Lasting Friendships. Lisa Jo, I just love how direct you are, but you say out of love too. And I think there, you have found that balance. In reading your book, I do believe you found that. And I appreciate that from the reader's point of view, because this is a touchy subject. We don't want to talk about never unfriending. If we go back and watch how Jesus walked this earth, he didn't unfriend, not even when he was hung on the cross and crucified.
Right. I mean, and that's the reminder I want to share with your viewers and listeners, is that you can read a book like this and think, does it mean that I have to be some perfect friend, or I have to live up to the standard of friendship? And so the book is called Never Unfriended, not because any human is capable of living up to that perfect standard of friendship, but like you said, because we have a God who promised it. In the Old Testament, he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And then in the New Testament, he dies to live up to that promise. It's him. He's the standard for what it looks like to be the truest, true friend. I will never get it right. Like, my book is written out of my own brokenness. I've made many, many friendship mistakes, many things I wish I could undo. I have gracious, patient friends who have loved me and mentored me, but I have a God who has promised he will never unfriend me. And this book is to remind women that at the end of the day, no matter how lonely you feel or unfriended or unsafe, Jesus is the God that you can take all of that to. He will never be tired of hearing from you. He will never feel like you're too needy or too demanding. He will never, ever, ever want to stop hearing from you. And so that's my biggest encouragement to the readers of this book, that he's the place to go first. He is the place to practice friendship and to know you are the most accepted. Mm.
That is so beautiful. And that leads perfectly into Dare to Encourage, both with the EN Courage and the IN Courage.me. I want you to talk a little bit about Encourage.me and what it is, because I think there are going to be people who really want to be a part of that community.
Sure. So encourage.me, spelled with an I-N, is an online community for women from all over the world. And we laugh and say, you know, we didn't spell it that way by accident. It's intentional. And it's funny, after 7 years of working there, I'm always spelling the word encourage wrong now, because I always use an I-N when I write it. But it's because we wanted to remind ourselves that encouragement takes a degree of courage. You have to be willing to take courage to encourage other women rather than compare or compete with them. And to do that, we have to be in Christ and in community. That's where the I-N comes from. So encourage.me is an online community. It has readers from all over the world. And we share daily encouragement. And what I love is the stories shared on Encourage are stories of what we call everyday faith. So it's not like you're dressed up fancy on Sunday faith, or your Bible study faith, or your journaling faith. It is like your everyday, the dog threw up, the kids screaming, I'm late, you know, to get to work. Faith, like how Jesus shows up in the middle of the messy moments of every day. Yes. That is what you're going to find on Encourage.
That is awesome, because I got a lot of chaos stuff in life happening.
I know their tagline is find yourself among friends. And so the hope really is that it would be a safe place and a safe community for women to connect with one another and with Christ.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is a beautiful community. So we will definitely have that link in the show notes. Well, I got to ask the kind of the normal question when you write a book.
Sure.
Why never unfriended? I mean, we talked about the part with Jesus, but why did you really
write it
that way? Yeah. What?
Oh,
make that connection, girl.
Sure. I mean, that is why. I mean, that we live in a culture that unfriends all the time. Like, it's such a common part of our vocabulary. We don't even think about it, like, to be unfriended. But what if we were to become women who were the safe places, who make a promise never to unfriend people, to show up, to keep showing up, to forgive, you know, to be invested? And I think, interestingly enough, even drawing safe boundary lines isn't an act of unfriending somebody. It is an act of true friendship. It's saying the best thing for me and for you is to create space for both of us to heal separately. So never unfriended. It was really born out of two interesting questions that came from serving the community at Encourage. So I've spent nearly a decade listening to women, talking with women, talking about friendship. I mean, hundreds and thousands of conversations, right? Mm-hmm. And two things have emerged. Number one, all women, I mean, without a doubt, all women are interested in finding deeper, meaningful connections with other women. That's what we want. We are wired for it. We want community. But here's the second thing that bumps right up against that. A lot of women bring hurts or nervousness or fears into friendship. And so those two things are a crossroad. And I wanted to understand, okay, but then how do we reconcile our desire for friendship with our fear of friendship? And so that's where the book Never Unfriended was born.
Mm. I'm glad it was born. I'm just saying, because it needs to be talked about. We need to be having these conversations. And when you pick up your own copy of Never Unfriended, The Secret to Finding and Keeping Lasting Friendships, you could even use this as almost like a Bible study. If you've got a good close-knit of friends, the way you've done it, you can dive in. And, you know, do you have a Bible study guide for
this? I do. Well, so here's the thing that's really cool. So Never Unfriended came out, and there are just so many issues we wanted to go deeper with. So it actually has a companion Bible study, and it's called We Saved You a Seat. And then it's the same tagline, The Secret to Finding and Keeping Lasting Friendships. And I love it because it has 7 video sessions, and it's me and 4 of my best friends sitting around a table getting really honest about friendship. And so we go there, man. We talk about all the things you and I talked about, but then it has 3 days of homework for people to go and do by themselves to dig deeper into a lot of these things. So it's We Saved You a Seat.
Oh, I love that. We will definitely have that link in the show notes too for you, because what a way to take this and take your friendships to the next level. I mean, we're talking about diving deeper, but let's make it the heavenly high fortress that God wants us to be.
Right.
You know, with our yoga pants on. I mean, you know.
Totally.
Cool comfort.
100%. I'm there.
Oh, that's awesome. That is great. So as we begin to wrap up, what would you say? A woman picks this book up. She really has, I mean, if she's listening to us, she has a clue as to what the book's about.
Yeah.
She just sees the cover on it and says, Never Unfriended.
Right.
What is your hope that women are going to walk away at the end of reading this?
I guess twofold. Number one, that she'd be introduced to a God who will never unfriend her, who loves her just the way she is. And that number two, she will actually be motivated to take the initiative, the first steps toward friendship, that we'd stop waiting for friendship to happen to us and we'd start initiating friendship, because it actually is possible in our everyday lives.
Mm. I love that. And I talk a lot about take aim, action ignites
motivation. Oh, I like that. Yeah.
And we've got to take aim. It is time.
Yeah.
God is calling us. We are moving. So girlfriends, get on the phone, call someone up, say you want to go to lunch. You know what? Even if you have an online buddy, you can sit here and Skype and have a conversation and bring out your own little coffee mug. I mean, come on.
Right. I love it.
That's what we need to be doing. Oh, Lisa Jo, you are absolutely a charm. How can people find you? Where do they find you? How do they connect with you? Because I know they're going to be like, I need to get a hold of her.
That'd be great. Well, the easiest way is like a one-stop shop. You can just come to my website. It's just my name, lisajobaker.com. And the Joe does not have an E. So lisajobaker.com. And then if you're on Instagram or Facebook or any of those places, it's the same. It's just at Lisa Jo Baker. So it's pretty easy.
It's pretty easy. Well, I love it. And I wouldn't say you're necessarily pretty easy, because I hear that you were actually a missionary. You lived overseas for a while.
Right. Well, we're not missionaries. I'm South African. So my whole family, my whole family lives in South Africa. My firstborn was born there when we were living home. My husband's from the Midwest. So we go back and forth. We're actually headed home in a few weeks for my dad's 70th birthday. So my whole family lived there. They're not missionaries. They're just many generations back South African.
Oh, wow. Oh. How fabulous. So then how did you meet your husband then?
I know. When you're 20, you know, you make decisions and you have no idea how they're going to affect the rest of your life.
Yes.
And I was like, I'll go to college in America. That'll be so fun. And then you meet this really cute boy with green eyes from Michigan. And then he has to call your dad to ask for your hand in marriage. And then your dad's like, she was supposed to come home. Like, what are you talking about? And that's how you end up in America.
Oh, that's an awesome story. Well, we'll have to have you back just to talk about your life and what it's like over there versus here, how you're, you know, South African versus coming here to America. I mean, how cool is that?
Yeah. Yeah.
And happy birthday to your dad too.
Yeah. Thank you.
That's awesome. He's just a young pup, right?
Yeah, right.
He is. Well, you all are definitely going to want to pick up your own copy of Never Unfriended, The Secret to Finding and Keeping Lasting Friendships. Lisa Jo, before I let you go, I have one final question for you. This series is called My Strength is My Story. Mm. What has your story gifted you?
I think my strength has really come through the broken places in my story, the things that have caused me the most pain. So my mother passed away right after I turned 18, and that's where Surprise My Motherhood was really born out of that journey of processing that story. And in Never Unfriended, I've walked through some really painful friendship stories, and those have become part of what the heart of the book is. So I really do think it's the broken places that have been my strength as I share my story with other people.
Well, in my opinion, your strength is definitely in writing. And thank you so much for sharing your heart with us and hopefully waking up some other people's hearts as we begin to look at friendship a little bit differently.
I hope so. I really hope that they'll be encouraged in it.
Oh, I'm sure they will. Thank you so much. Many blessings to you, Lisa Jo.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome.
Feeling inspired, ready to train for life, and love your journey? Visit createyournow.com for more incredible resources to help you along the way. We'll see you next time on Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie. And remember, always be sure you consult your physician before beginning any health and fitness plan.